The nonprofit environmental media service, Inside Climate News, recently published a three-part series on the 2010 Kalamazoo River oil spill. It's called The Dilbit Disaster, the biggest oil spill you've never heard of. Inside Climate News executive editor Susan White says there are a couple of reasons why the story of an estimated million gallons of oil spilling from a ruptured pipeline into the Kalamazoo River didn't get more national attention.
One, nobody died, which is a wonderful thing. Nobody died. And also, it was not a drinking water river. If the oil had moved into Lake Michigan, then that would have been a different story altogether.
White says Inside Climate News reporters were researching the proposed Keystone XL pipeline, which is currently on hold. White says that farmers near the proposed path of the Keystone wondered what would happen if there was a spill. She says reporters decided to go back and look at what happened when an Enbridge Energy pipeline burst in 2010 and what followed. I spoke with Susan White early this week. The Dilbit disaster, it may be a term that our audience is not that familiar with. What do you mean by Dilbit?
The word Dilbit is something that we need to know and understand because we're going to be importing more of it into the United States from Canada. And Dilbit is the abbreviation for diluted bitumen. And bitumen is the heaviest oil that is in use now. It is so heavy that you can, it's like peanut butter, and you can hold it in your hand. And it is so heavy that, of course, it won't flow through a pipeline.
White says the bitumen is diluted with a form of natural gas condensate called wet gas in the oil industry. She says it includes benzene.
When the pipeline cracks open, immediately the additives, the natural gas condensates, are very light. So what happens is they start evaporating, which is why the smell was so overpowering. So these chemicals are evaporating into the air, and the bitumen is becoming solid again. At the beginning, you can still scoop it off the water, just like you would at a conventional oil spill. But that only lasts so long because it starts sinking to the bottom of the river. And that's why at one point they thought the cleanup was going very well. In the Kalamazoo, it was like, boy, the water, you know, we're really having success. The water is beginning to clear. But then, as you read in the story, they walked out and little flakes of oil started bubbling to the top every time the water was disturbed. And then they realized, uh-oh, something's down here.
If the Keystone XL pipeline ends up becoming reality, are there things that have been learned from what happened in Kalamazoo that should be or would be part of future regulations and safety precautions and those sort of things to try and prevent what happened on the Kalamazoo River?
I think definitely. I think this is a blueprint for that. And I think it raises the question, what are we willing to risk to get energy into this country? And if we do determine as a country that the Keystone XL pipeline needs to be built, what are the safeguards we're going to put into place to make sure that we don't have a spill there? Because the Keystone will cross the Ogallala Aquifer, and that is the main drinking water source for about 8 states. And that aquifer also provides 30% of the water that's used for the nation's agricultural industry. So you want to be sure that every precaution is taken. I would hope that people would say, maybe the Keystone XL should circumvent the aquifer. And that would cost a lot more to build it. But maybe protecting our nation's largest drinking water aquifer might be worth it. And then if we decide that it does go, no matter where it does go, it would seem to me only logical that we would use the lessons learned from this story and say we need different regulations for this type of oil. And we have to have an emergency plan that is adapted for this particular type of oil.
Enbridge says that 843,000 gallons of oil was spilled on the Kalamazoo River because of that ruptured pipeline. The EPA puts it at over 1.1 million gallons. I know that our listeners and people in this area have been hearing those two figures going back and forth for a while. Your reporting gets into a little bit about why that discrepancy is important. Why is it?
Because one of the ways penalties are levied is on the number of gallons or the number of barrels spilled. So this means a lot of money to Enbridge. I don't know how they're going to reconcile that, but that's where we are with those figures.
Susan White is executive editor of Inside Climate News. She spoke with me on Monday. Later that day, the U.S. Transportation Department's Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration announced a $3.7 million fine against Enbridge. The company has 30 days to respond to the ruling. For WMUK, I'm Gordon Evans.